It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for. Sandy Rios with you. That's the sound of many young Frenchmen on their knees praying the rosary and singing Ave Maria in French. As they watch Notre Dame Cathedral burn, and you could see in that shot with the audio, you could see the cathedral burning in the background. It was a very big day with a lot of symbolism, I think, for the Western world. Sandy Rios with you this morning. Notre Dame Cathedral was 850 years old. That's even hard for us to fathom. Established in the 1100s, built in 1160, actually, completed by 1260. And in just a few hours yesterday, burned the spire, and you watched it come down, and it was just amazing. I think the firefighters, it took them 2 hours to get to the scene. Notre Dame is like on an island in, at least I think, at the center of Paris. That's one place in all my travels I have not been, and now I guess I never will see it the way I wish I could have. But I thought it would be good this morning to sort of get into the mind of Parisians, because hundreds of thousands, well, I don't know what the count was, tens of thousands, stood around and watched it burn. And you could see the emotion on their faces. You could see the emotion in Macron's messages to the people. Some have referred to it as their own 9/11, maybe to give us some reference. Shiv Malik, who is an author and former investigative journalist for The Guardian, tweeted this: Notre Dame, Paris is on fire, and it feels like the end of the world. Well, Kate McKenna is a communications consultant. She is an American, but she lives in Paris. She actually is very active in Republicans Overseas France, and I've asked her to join us this morning to just, she lives there. She's got 5 children, half French, I'm thinking. And so, Kate, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kate, I know you guys live outside of Paris a bit, so I just want to know your personal experience. Like, when and how did you hear about what was happening to Notre Dame?
Well, actually, I live just 20 minutes outside the city, and so, you know, we're all very connected to know what's going on. I actually received a WhatsApp message from a friend, and, you know, then another one, and then another one, and then another one, and so you just turn it on and you see. And I just didn't believe the first message. I thought it was a joke. I couldn't believe that Notre Dame would be in flames. That's just mind-boggling. But you turn it on and you just see, you know, how it affected everybody. All my French friends and family are just in tears and shocked. And as one of my dear friends said, you know, the eternal heart of France has been touched. This cathedral is something of just extreme importance to them, and it's a huge symbol.
All right, so that's what I want to ask you about, Kate. Now, I think, I know that your husband, who I should say, joins us often on the air. I love talking to him. And so your husband is French, and I kind of have an idea of why this means so much, but I would really love to hear you explain. Why is it having such an, besides it's an old historical building, it's more than that. What is it that's got the French people so moved?
It is more of that. Well, you mentioned the fact that it is in the center of Paris. It's what's called Île de la Cité, which is really where Paris began in Roman times. In fact, just under the cathedral is the Roman ruins. So it's really a place in Paris that has been there from the beginning. And, you know, it's not only a place of worship, which is, you know, huge, but it's a place of community. It was always a place of gathering. Markets were held just in the courtyard outside. It's a place of political triumph. Napoleon was crowned in Notre Dame. It has glories of medieval art within it, the masonry, I mean, just the architecture itself. It's really, truly something. The French are a very prideful people in the best sense. I mean, they have absolute reason to be. And especially about their architecture, this is something that is precious to them. They really, it touches the heart of their faith. They're a Catholic country, and this is definitely a symbol of the church. And it touches them in a way. It's part of their identity. You know, you had someone speaking earlier in the news about how the identity of America is being touched. Well, the identity of France is really linked with its Christian heritage, and in particular, it's linked to these churches. And what many people don't know is Notre Dame is the third church to be burned or face destruction within the last 2 months. You know, we had the Basilica of Saint-Denis, which was also built in the 12th century, like Notre Dame, which houses the tombs of many of the kings and queens of France, which these tombs were destroyed along with the organ. And now this was a criminal act. And then you had Saint-Sulpice in Saint-Sulpice is in the 6th district, the 6th arrondissement, which holds great personal meaning for me. It's just the most beautiful church where I used to spend when I first arrived in France about 15 years ago and had a lot of quiet time, a lot of prayer time. Just a beautiful church. It had fire bursting from its doors in March, and this was also a criminal act. So, you know, France has not only been, under fire and from the Gilets Jaunes, which I know you've spoken with my husband about before, but its churches are burning as well. And in fact, I was curious. I went and looked at the French state reports. There have been 878 criminal acts of destruction or desecration of Christian artifacts or churches in 2017 alone. And that's compared to 78 Muslim sites or 23 Jewish sites. So, you know, there's a lot of impact of the Christian identity in France that's happening.
You know, I honestly, you wouldn't know probably, but I'll tell you, I wasn't going to mention that part with you because I know that France or the officials there have been quick to determine that this fire in Notre Dame was workers, you know, they were trying to restore it and they think it was just accidental. And then I have in my hand, of course, a report that echoes just what you said. Actually, 12 French churches have been attacked and vandalized in 1 week. This is a report that came out March 20th, before this fire yesterday.
Yes. And yes.
So, but it's politically incorrect to talk about this, Kate. It's like
I think more and more people.
No, go ahead.
More and more people are speaking about it. More people are speaking about it, but just can't be ignored.
No, I totally agree. And honestly, it's such a hot button. I'll give you an example. Actually, I'm going to jump ahead to one of our clips. You guys, let's let Kate hear this. This is Philip Carcenti. He's a member, I believe, of the French Parliament. And he was on with Shepard Smith on Fox yesterday. So, Kate, so listen to this. Here goes. Clip 8.
He is on the line with us, a French elected official who is in Paris now. Felipe, what have you seen and what do you know?
Well, I was close to the scene when it happened, and no, I left the place because we want to let people work around it. Everybody's really under shock now in France. I would tell you something. It's even if nobody died. I mean, it's like a 9/11. It's a French 9/11, you know, and it's a big shock. I mean, this church was there for more than 850 years. Even the Nazis didn't dare to destroy it. And you need to know that for the past years, we had churches desecrated each and every week in France, all over France. So, of course, you will hear the story about the political correctness, which will tell you that it's probably an accident.
Sir, we're not going to speculate here of the cause of something which we don't know. If you have observations or you know something, we would love to hear it.
No, I'm just telling you something. What you need to be ready.
No, sir. We're not doing that here. Not now.
Okay.
Not on my watch.
Okay.
Felipe Carcente,
okay.
It's very good of you to be here.
All right, so then he cut him off, and then Shep goes on to explain that we're no one's going to say that on my show. And you know what? Neil Cavuto did the same thing to another guest on his show.
Okay.
So,
well, regardless if it is a criminal act or not, France Info, which is certainly not a right-leaning or Christian organization, it's a state-owned media outlet, came out with an article this morning with just speaking about infuriated historians and art specialists. About the security norms and them being insufficient. So again, whether this was a criminal act or just negligence, gross negligence on the part of the state, this is something we've been talking about for a long time with the state. They are spending millions of dollars on spectacles like entertainment and bringing sand into the, side of the Seine, and they're investing in all of that, but ignoring France's historical treasures, especially Parisian historical treasures, and that's really the mayor, Anne Hidalgo, what she's been ignoring, what the French monuments needed. We have tons of other churches. If you look at the Madeleine, the Madeleine Church in the center of Paris, there's wires everywhere. I mean, this could happen if it was an accident anywhere. So whether it was just gross negligence on the part of the state or a criminal act, the French Christian culture has really just taken a hit.
Oh, I think so too, Kate. And, here's the thing. The shocking control of even speech by the French and by now our even conservative media outlet here. Oh, no, don't go there. You can't talk about that. Goodbye. You can't talk about that. Well, we know that France has been under attack by Islamists. This might not be it. Might not be, but it is Easter week. It is Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And we have had a series of churches, as you and I just described, according to the report, I have 12 in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Churches being desecrated. In fact, I could just say, statues of Jesus where the arm has been broken off and put in an obscene, placed in an obscene way. I mean, various kinds of desecration. And you cannot help but observe that this is concurrent with the rise of the power of Islam in France. And Kate, if you're willing to talk about that, just say something about that. Are you seeing that on the streets? How are you experiencing that in France?
Well, absolutely. There is a definite wave of Islamic immigration, and that is something that you notice, all around in the stores. It's veiled women, so naturally, of course, and the two attacks, the one in Saint-Denis and the one in Saint-Sulpice, were by recent refugees who were, in fact, Muslim. However, again, I will just note that these historians and art specialists did note that it was very strange that this did happen to Notre Dame. I will just say that them themselves, I'm not saying anything, but they said that they have seen what happened is not normal, especially since fire detectors were just recently installed. I do want to just mention that and put that out there that, this isn't just some random theory coming out there, a conspiracy theory. It is something very important, and it is important to notice that, this is not anything new historically. When we know our history, we know that this is something that happens, and this has been happening in France and has been grossly ignored by the media, and I'm sad to see Shepard Smith's reaction about that because, it's sad that we couldn't get that out. I don't think he was being speculative at all. I think he was just stating facts. Churches are burning edifices. Christian symbols are being destroyed at a rate that is absolutely alarming. Anti-Christianity is happening all over, and no one is willing to talk about it.
Yeah, Kate, you know what? Can you stay with me a few minutes more?
Sure.
Are you able? Because, I really want to talk about some of the repercussions of what you're talking about. It'll make sense in a minute, but going a little deeper about the meaning of what just happened here. And since you are well-versed on the history and kind of the perspective of this, which I was going to bring in after you left me, but since you're talking about it with me, I'd love to have that chat with you if you don't mind. My guest is Kate McKenna, and she is a communications specialist living in Paris, really living in Paris. She's got 5 or 6 children who are half Parisian. And so this is very deeply personal to her and her extended family and her husband. And we'll be back with our discussion right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know. You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
This is Pause to Pray, a moment to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for David Bernhardt, Secretary of the Interior. Mr. Bernhardt oversees the department responsible for the management and conservation of federal land and natural resources. Psalm 24:1 reminds us of our responsibility to care for God's earth. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to bless David Bernhardt as he manages our country's land and natural resources. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Sorting out dirty college laundry. That story next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Sam Abrams is a professor at Sarah Lawrence College in New York. He's also a conservative, lamenting in the New York Times about the lack of conservatives in higher education. When students read the professor's column, they became enraged, accusing him of being anti-black, anti-gay, anti-woman. They staged a sit-in, posted a 14-page manifesto demanding that Professor Abrams be punished for speaking the truth. Their laundry list of demands also included free laundry detergent, literally, and fabric softener. They also want the school to hire more professors, not based on ability, but based on the color of their skin. One more item. The young and aggrieved are calling for Sarah Lawrence College to also hire at least three new mental health therapists. Based on their manifesto, they might want to consider upping that number. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Felipe Carcenti is on the line with us, a French elected official who is in Paris now. Felipe, what have you seen and what do you know?
Well, I was close to the scene when it happened, and no, I left the place because we want to let people work around it. Everybody's really under shock now in France. I would tell you something. It's even if nobody died, I mean, it's like a 9/11. It's a French 9/11, you know. And it's a big shock. I mean, this church was there for more than 850 years. Even the Nazis didn't dare to destroy it. And you need to know that for the past years, we had churches desecrated each and every week in France, all over France. So, of course, you will hear the story about the political correctness, which will tell you that it's probably an accident.
Sir, we're not going to speculate here of the cause of something which we don't know. If you have observations or you know something, we would love to hear it.
No, I'm just telling you something. What you need to be ready.
No, sir, we're not doing that here. Not now.
Okay.
Not on my watch.
Okay.
Felipe Carcente,
okay.
It's very good of you to be here.
Yeah, so that's the way it went down yesterday with Shepard Smith. It's just amazing. A French official is trying to tell him that Catholic churches have been vandalized. The report that I have came out March the 20th, right before Easter. So Notre Dame now goes down in flames the week of Easter, and we're not to ask questions. No, not to ask questions. As a matter of fact, someone else sent me, this is from AP News, this is out of Paris. The prosecutor's office said late Monday they have ruled out arson in Monday's fire, including possible terror-related motives for starting the blaze. Like, it defies logic that they would know that yet. How long did these investigations go in the United States when we try to find the cause of various things, whether it's a plane crash or a train crash or an arson? You don't immediately know unless you just don't, you can't rule it out. And yet they are. And I want to mention also Neil Cavuto had the Catholic League President Bill Donahue on yesterday. And here's how it went down. Bill said, well, Neil, if it isn't an accident, it's a monumental tragedy. But forgive me for being suspicious. Just last month, a 17th century church was set fire in Paris. We've seen tabernacles knocked down. Crosses have been torn down, statues. And then Neil interrupted him saying, I love you, Bill, but we cannot make conjectures about this. So thank you, Bill. I'm sorry. Thanks very much. I do want to let people know. And again, we're not trying to be rude to our guests here. There's just so much we don't know about what happens here. You know, I think the directions from the executives at Fox must have been pretty stern about this. Kate, that's the only thing I can think of. Kate McKenna is our guest. She's a communications consultant based in Paris. She's married to Alexandra Pesset, who is with the Alexis de Tocqueville Institute over there. And that's how I know Alexander, who's Parisian, but now I'm meeting Kate, who's American, who's married to him. And Kate, it's a pleasure to have you with us this morning. I think one of the things we need to just make note of is that, all right, we don't know. I mean, obviously, you and I don't know, but it is a strange set of coincidences that there have been all these vandalisms against church this Easter season and now Notre Dame. It would be a coup d'etat of the Muslim. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it could be, but it also could just be a result of the fact that Christian heritage has been just neglected for so long and put on the back burner.
Interesting.
And this is really to the shame of the town hall and the mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo. You know, these are things that, you know, attract, if you just want to look at the non-Christian aspects of it, it attracts millions of people to the city. And, you know, they don't come to see all the modern things. They really do come to see, you know, the beautiful things that were built, you know, centuries ago. And shame on them, really. You know, this is everything. All my French friends are just filled with sadness, but really rage. I mean, they are very angry, and this is certainly not helping. Again, whether this was an accident or on purpose, there's really something happening, and you're seeing that with the government to declare that it wasn't arson so quickly. The difference between the elite and the people, and we saw this with the gilets jaunes or the yellow vests. You know, you've got the elite kind of keeping one discourse over here, and the people and the history of France being just swept aside. So it's really, really becoming complicated.
Yes, it is. It is. But looking at it from a distance here, Kate, the thing I saw yesterday that really struck me as I watched those young Parisians on their knees in singing Ave Maria and praying the rosary, mm-hmm. and other shots of people doing the same thing around. The thing that occurred to me is what we're seeing is a visual. It's kind of a visual metaphor of the death of Western civilization, because Western civilization, with whether it's France or England or Germany or now translated into the Americas, was based on Judeo-Christian values. It was the worship of one God, and mm-hmm. he was very distinct. It wasn't a multicultural God. He claims to be the only God, the Creator, and out of his values and his statutes birthed an incredible civilization, which was contrasted to all the other prior civilizations. And so now I honestly think, you know, France has, I don't need to tell you, has been moving to the left for decades now, as long as almost I can remember, and becoming less and less centered on its, in France, it's mostly Catholic roots, mm-hmm. /Christian. So the repercussions of this, I think, are much deeper than people may be even thinking. This burning cathedral sort of, to me, represented the burning of faith. I'm not saying it is literally. I'm saying a metaphor.
Yes, right. Well, I think you have a lot of things to consider. There's a big difference between, you know, American character and French character. The French are known for their stubbornness and their pride. They're very, very proud of their country and especially their Christian heritage, surprisingly. And but the French always do wait to the last minute, you know, to kind of wake up and fight, but they do. And if you look at their history, even way back when the first king, Clovis, was baptized by St. Remy, St. Remy had, you know, kind of this prophecy for France that as long as she does serve God, she will be the door to the West. So it's a really beautiful prophecy to have a chance to look at that. But just the importance of France and the Christian Western, you know, heritage that we have. Looking at that and looking at those people, there were people praying. There were people on the ground. And I think I have the opportunity to work with many French youth here in the conservative Christian movement. And they are becoming so dynamic. You know, I don't believe it's the end. I believe it's the beginning of something new. I think that, it, you know, seeing this is this rage. The French tend to take rage and take that passion and turn it into something beautiful. So I'm really hoping that it just wakes up maybe these sleeping youth and just activate them to be something incredible, because they've often been staying in the churches, you know, kind of like what we had in the States in the 60s, you know, when we had this kind of waking up within the churches to go out and go into politics, you know, get out of the churches and into the political scene. And that's what you're starting to see in France now. The people are getting out of the churches and going into the political scene and bringing their Christian faith into the political world, which is something really good, I think. You know, I watching what it had done for the conservative movement in the U.S., you see that happening here. You know, many new institutes, Western civilization, Christian organizations are being created, very much like my husband's, and it's very exciting to see.
Yes, I think that probably is the underreported part of what's happening in France, and the first time it came to my attention, Kate, was those massive protests when gay marriage before it was passed or accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so suddenly it's like the French, wait a minute, the French, we thought they didn't care about these things. And suddenly you've got, what, a million, something like that, who gathered in the center of Paris to protest that. So that was my first kind of wake-up call that, listen, there's something going on in France that's not being reported.
Yes, yeah, there is, and you can definitely see it with the youth.
Yeah, and it's, so I'm with you. I am not, listen, I believe there's nothing God can't do, but I do think that the reason for the mourning, the reason that the mourning is there, mourning, is because I think of what that represents. It's like, and in that regard, for many people who have a heart for God and for truth, I think it is, it could be an absolute turning point, no question about it. And just speaking in human terms, the French are going to have to fight, or you're going to lose your country. And this, we're the same problem here, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're in it together. You know, it's a Western, it's a Western civilization question, and we're in it together. And they know that on the ground here, and I think many Americans do as well. And I will just add just one thing that I really think is beautiful, you know, and there were images, if you have the chance to see it, of the Golden Cross still standing amongst the ashes. And that is just such a beautiful symbol that you see. The big Golden Cross inside Notre Dame on the altar is still standing. It was not knocked down with all the falling roof. It was just there in the middle of the ashes. And that is something that we do need to remember as Christians and as Americans and for the French people as well, that, you know, we're always going to face these sorts of things and these attacks, and we should expect it. And, you know, God is so great and so faithful that, you know, as long as we keep our eyes turned to Him, you know, there is hope.
Yes, absolutely. And honestly, I was just thinking, as you were talking, Kate, that this is Holy Week. So rather than this being, just another Holy Week where we do different services, this will not be an ordinary Holy Week in France. This is going to be a week when the words, the actions of Jesus, the words of Scripture are going to take on new life. And so it's really kind of exciting to think about what God might do in the midst of this, which is what He does. He never wastes tragedy or trouble. So what a lot of guys meant for evil, God could use for good, no question about it.
Beauty
Kate,
from ashes.
Listen, beauty from ashes. You and I could talk forever, but we better not, because you have to go take care of your children. Kate McKenna, listen, it's a pleasure, and very nice to talk to you, and give Alexandra my very best. And
I will.
Our hearts go out to the French people. You know, we are related, certainly in many ways in terms of culture. So Americans are grieving with you, And so God bless all of you. And I'll be anxious to hear what happens this week. I'll be looking forward to more conversations with you and Alexandra. So thank you.
Great. Thank you. Yeah. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. Okay, bye-bye. You know, I want to add a couple of things about Notre Dame that I, you know, there's so much to look, when something's been in place for since the 1100s, there's a lot to say about it, and it's a lot to remember, but I just want to give you a couple of things. The site of this cathedral was chosen by King Louis VII, and the first stone of what was to become a massive edifice measuring 130 meters long and 48 meters wide was laid in 1163 in the presence of Pope Alexander III. The relics there, you've heard already probably, are the crown of thorns they say Jesus purportedly wore before being crucified. They were acquired by Louis XIV. Of course, I'm always honestly skeptical of this stuff, but it's an old piece of memorabilia. I always am skeptical about whether it's the real thing. I am that way in Israel too. Just don't, there's a lot to, people love stuff to touch, and it's not really important to faith. Yet it's sad because of its antiquity. The crown of thorns is there, and there's supposed to be a piece of the cross that Jesus was crucified upon. The stunning south rose window of the cathedral symbolizes Christ triumphant, reigning over heaven, surrounded by all his witnesses on earth. And the south rose window was a gift from King St. Louis. It was constructed in 1260 as a counterpoint to the north rose window, which was built in 1250 and dedicated to the New Testament. Can you see? I mean, the proclamations of the God's Word are just everywhere. And I know some of you are saying, yes, but it's Catholic. Christ is preached. I think out of the words of Jesus himself, Christ is preached. And I think Christ is preached in the walls and the things we've just described. And I have a feeling that we may see some incredible things happening this week in Paris. And maybe we won't know about them unless we talk to people like Alexandra and his wife. And we'll do that and find out, you know, what God's doing over there in France. That's a great story. Oh, boy, do I have other things to tell you. Now, let's see. All right, I'll just jump to this, and then we'll finish it in the last segment. Bernie Sanders, of course, did a town hall last night with Fox. Go figure. Bernie Hall, the front runner in the Democratic primary. Bernie Sanders, the communist Russian lover of Castro also. And this is early on what Bernie Sanders had to say about wealth and prosperity. Let's listen.
How does it happen that in America today we got 47 million people living in poverty, and yet at the same time, we're seeing a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires?
I don't apologize for writing a book that was number three on the New York Times bestseller.
Well, so that's a compilation. But what he's saying is, you heard when he was on the campaign trail in 2016, he constantly criticized millionaires and billionaires. Well, now we find out he is one. His taxes for 10 years were released yesterday. I think we found out he was a millionaire last week. He probably had to finally spill the beans on that. Now we've seen his tax returns. I haven't seen them, and I'm sure you'll hear more details about them as it transpires this week. I think he made $1 million alone last year, and he only paid 26% in taxes, which was under the normal tax rate because he waited in order to get the benefit of the Trump tax cuts. Is that ironic or what? Now, he didn't say that, but that's exactly what happened. And so Martha McCollum kind of asked him about that. And let's listen to clip five and hear that exchange.
Your taxes do show that you're a millionaire. You did make a million in 2016, 2017. You're right, the 561 in 2018. But your marginal tax rate was 26% because of President Trump's tax cuts. So why not say, you know, I'm leading this revolution. I'm not going to take those.
Come on. But during... I paid the taxes that I owe. And by the way, why don't you get Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes?
Well, we'd love to have
him. We would love to ask him that question.
Get him up here. And the president, I guess the president watches your network a little bit, right? Hey, President Trump, my wife and I just released 10 years. Please do the same.
You spend a lot of time vilifying millionaires.
No, I don't vilify. Just so happens that the very wealthy are doing incredibly wealthy. It's not vilifying to say that people who have a whole lot of money, in some cases billions of dollars of wealth, they should pay their fair share of taxes.
Yeah, so I have a lot to say about that, and I will when we return, because I really, as funny in a dark comedy way as it is, it's very serious. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. For the first time in history, John Bunyan's epic masterpiece, The Pilgrim's Progress, hits the big screen. Journey with Christian as he travels from the city of destruction to the celestial city. Experience the friends and foes he meets along the way, and the ultimate choice he will have to make to reach the king. Pilgrim's Progress is the one movie you don't want your children and grandchildren to miss. It's in theaters for 2 days only, April 18th and April 20th. Tickets are available at www.pilgrims.movie. That's pilgrims.movie.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Whether you hate or love the president, one thing is certain, he needs our prayers. The Bible says to pray for those in authority that we may live a peaceful life. Vice President Pence said prayer regularly happens in the White House, and the president often asks a cabinet member to start a meeting with prayer. Our founders prayed before writing the Constitution, and Congress has a chaplain to open in prayer. Prayer will unite us as we seek God's help. I'm going to pray. How about you? I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
It's no secret how American Family Radio is influencing lives.
I'm blessed immensely by it.
Have you called to share your story? Now is the time to do so, as we approach our three-day share-a-thon. You might even hear your story on the air.
Without AFR that day, there's no telling where I could have wound up.
These remarkable stories become powerful reminders of how God is using listener-supported American Family Radio. Call 877-876-8893.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We believe that God knew what he was doing when he designed marriage to be exclusively between one man and one woman, and for each child to be raised by both a mother and a father. It's a form of child abuse to deliberately deprive a child of either a father or a mother and the unique, irreplaceable contribution each has to make to the life of a growing child. Every child, has a biological mother and a biological father. A recent USA Today story about two lesbians who, quote, conceived, end quote, a child through in vitro fertilization mentions in passing that the lesbians, quote, knew their own biological child would require a sperm donor. The sperm donor is the child's father, who will now be missing from the child's life forever.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. The fire that consumed Christendom's most beautiful cathedral and one of its most important capitals is a tragedy not only for Christians, but for the world. While the cause of this particularly devastating loss remains to be determined, it comes against the backdrop of numerous attacks that have desecrated or destroyed Christian houses of worship across France. This pattern of attacks is a symptom of a Sharia supremacist assault on Christianity in France, often enabled by the country's intolerant secular left. It suggests that the kind of persecution that is now afflicting some 300 million followers of Christ elsewhere around the world is coming full force to Europe as well. Americans are unnoticed. Unless we counter the forces perpetrating such crimes against humanity, often in furtherance of Sharia's global triumph, we will eventually be subjected to similar predations here, too. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Your taxes do show that you're a millionaire. You did make a million in 2016, 2017. You're right at the 561 in 2018. But your marginal tax rate was 26% because of President Trump's tax cuts. So why not say, you know, I'm leading this revolution. I'm not going to take those.
Come on, but dearie, I pay the taxes that I owe. And by the way, Why don't you get Donald Trump up here and ask him how much he pays in taxes?
Well, we'd love to have
him. We would love to ask him that question.
Get him up here. And
if
the president, I guess the president watches your network a little bit, right? Hey, President Trump, my wife and I just released 10 years. Please do the same.
You spend a lot of time vilifying millionaires.
No, I don't vilify. Just so happens that the very wealthy are doing incredibly wealthy. It's not vilifying to say that people have a whole lot of money, in some cases billions of dollars of wealth. They should pay their fair share of taxes.
Yeah, then they Martha goes on to ask him, I think, or Brad did, you know, so why didn't you pay more taxes? You couldn't do that. You're now part of the very wealthy. Why don't you? You notice he can't answer the question, so that's why he pivoted to blaming Donald Trump for yet one more thing. It's, you know, Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders are not in the same position. Donald Trump has a complex real estate market, and they're not after Bernie Sanders like they're after Donald Trump. If he should release his tax returns, you know, we would have another, 100 years of investigations into everything, every single thing. I don't blame the president for not releasing them. And I know we're going to probably find out more things about Bernie Sanders as he releases his. We find out, I think he gave 3% to charity. And I'm curious to know what those charities are. That would be one thing I would look at if someone asked me. But and then he said, I don't vilify. I don't vilify the wealth. Well, of course he does. In fact, let's go back to that clip we played a few minutes ago. Clip 4, we'll just play the first half of it. Let's listen.
How does it happen that in America today we got 47 million people living in poverty, and yet at the same time...
Oh, keep going.
How does it happen that in America today we got 47 million people living in poverty, and yet at the same time we're seeing a proliferation of millionaires and billionaires?
All right, so that's the story right there. So he says he doesn't vilify. That's what he said constantly in 2016. Millionaires and billionaires, those millionaires. Well, he's a millionaire, and he was then too, probably. Yeah, so what didn't apply to him, and that's the way the left operates. He's very slick, And I want to tell you what he stands for, because lest you forget, in the midst of his golden charm, he wants to give health care to illegal immigrants. In fact, he wants to give health care to anybody who happens to be on American soil, free and clear. It's free, you know. He wants to take 200 million of us off of our health care plans. Your Blue Cross, Blue Shield, whatever it is you have, no more, because those companies are going to go under, because there'll only be one health care plan, and it will be government doctors, government nurses, government hospitals, government medicine, everything the government. Isn't that wonderful? That's what Bernie Sanders stands for. And so in order to do that, he'll have to raise taxes. So Martha McCallum, of course he'll have to do that. Martha McCallum asked him a hard question last night. Let's listen to clip 6.
You're going to pay one way or the other.
But look, Martha.
You're going to pay one way or the other.
Martha.
Whether it's in your income tax or your payroll tax, you're
going to
pay.
Look, healthcare is not free. You never heard me suggest that we're going to match.
You just said it was going to be free for everyone.
It's going to be free at the point of when you use it. Okay. And you go to, why are you so shocked by this? You're not paying any more premiums. You're not paying any more co-payments. You're not paying any more deductibles. But does that mean you're not going to pay something? Of course it does. You're going to pay more in taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like in some countries now, the ones that he praises, they pay 60% of their income in taxes. Does that sound good to you? Just asking. And I'm going to come back to healthcare in a second, but I want to drop in that he also embraces the Green New Deal, which would cost $93 trillion. $93 trillion. That means that they would have to tax every household, yours and mine, more than $30,000. That would be the tax you pay, and you'd have to be taxed at a rate of 100% for 10 years. So you don't mind that doing that to pay for the Green New Deal, do you? Just giving up your income, all of your resources for 10 years? Not a big deal, right? So that's what Bernie Sanders said. Don't be deceived. All of you, especially if you're younger and you know, he seems very grandfatherly to you. This man is dangerous. He is a hard leftist, I would say. He's probably, I don't know if he's ever registered in the Communist Party. I just know he loves communists. I know he spent his honeymoon in Moscow when the Soviet Union was the number one enemy of the United States. Hard for you to kind of imagine that if you didn't live during that period, but just go back and watch a documentary on Joseph Stalin. And that's Bernie Sanders thinks that's just terrific. So did Nellie Orr, by the way, who was involved in the the scandal with President Trump. She's the one whose husband, Bruce Orr, was working in the State Department. Nellie Orr loved the Soviet Union, too. It's just amazing. How do these people get in these positions? And how are they so openly praised now? It's pretty frightening to me, honestly. So so Bernie Sanders says, well, is it healthcare? It's going to be free. Well, it's not at the, it's going to be free at the point of service. You'll get free medical care, free medicine, free tests, free, everything will be free. And, you know, who wouldn't want that? And he said in the past, in fact, his the thing he looks for all the time is, let's see, Finland. He points to Finland. He thinks Finland is fabulous. And I'll tell you what he said before about Finland. Let's see if I can find it. He talks about, here it is. In the United States, it costs on average, this is Bernie Sanders, $12,000 to have a baby. In Finland, it costs $60. We've got to end this disgrace of our profit-driven healthcare system and pass Medicare for all. Okay, that's Bernie Sanders. Take a look at what Finland, the happiest country in the world, is doing. If Finland can provide everyone with health care, send everyone to college for free, and provide affordable child care, why can't the U.S.? Okay, so that's Bernie Sanders. Only the problem is, according to Legal Insurrection, just something that came in my box yesterday, Finland is going under. Its government just collapsed. Its prime minister and cabinet resigned due to the unsustainable costs of universal health care. Just happened last week. Did you hear about that? Did CBS report that? Or ABC? Or CNN? Did they report that? I don't think so. And let me just read to you. Finland has long been touted by American socialists as the socialist nirvana, where everything is free and everyone is happy, happy, happy. Sadly, fiscal reality hit Finland's government as it collapsed Friday due to the rising costs of its universal health care. This is from the Washington Free Beacon. Prime Minister Juha Sipilä and the rest of the cabinet resigned after the governing coalition failed to pass reforms in parliament to the country's regional government and healthcare services. Finland faces an aging population with around 26% of its citizens expected to be over 65 by the year 2030. It's not just Finland experiencing such problems. Other Nordic countries, which are also touted, having the same problem as Sweden, Denmark. Reuters reports that the soaring treatment costs and longer lifespans have particularly affected Nordic countries. It's the comprehensive welfare is the cornerstone of the social model, and it's what has been most affected. The reform has been controversial, and in Finland, plans to cut costs and boost efficiency have stalled for years. Sweden and Denmark, Finland's crisis in particular, comes as calls for universal health care have grown louder among Democrats in the United States. So here's the thing. They also, one of the reasons that they've fallen on hard times in Finland is that their whole notion of embracing universal income has fallen on its face. They started providing money for everyone. In fact, let me find the exact thing that they did. Well, I'll tell you because I can't find it. They implemented this program, which is what, you know, the socialists are talking about now, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and others. Universal income. You should just have money. You shouldn't have to work. You should just have an income. Well, Finland tried that, and they found it was a terrible failure because where do they get the money? They don't have the money. They can't sustain this. And so now they've implemented, like, they're teaching people how to work. They're doing work programs. They're trying to get people back to work in Finland. Bernie Sanders, what does he say? We've got to end the disgrace of our profit-driven healthcare system and pass Medicare in Finland. It only costs $60. The happiest country in the world is Finland. Yeah, not so much. And I guess Bernie didn't talk about that. I'm sure he didn't know, right? He just didn't know. That's why he didn't mention it in the town hall that he had with Fox yesterday. The scary thing, of course, is that Bernie Sanders is running ahead of the pack for 2020. So just be aware of what's happening. All right, I want to move to, I want to go back to Omar Ilhan because I started talking about her yesterday. Doug McElway had an update, and I'll just let him catch you up. Here it is.
Over 10 million people have watched the video President Trump tweeted Friday afternoon. It condemns Democratic Minnesota Congresswoman Ilhan Omar's alleged insensitivity to 9/11.
Some people did something.
It replays Omar's four words over graphic images and live voice descriptions from that day in 2001. But in the 3 days since the tweet, the condemnation has flipped among many progressives and mainstream news outlets. It's now Trump who's the insensitive one and Omar who's the victim.
I saw the speech she gave, and I saw nothing wrong with it.
The chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Karen Bass, added Omar's statement was taken out of context, noting Omar believes the entire Muslim religion was blamed for the actions of a few, also left out Omar's admiration for the American ideals of liberty and justice.
Those are very much rooted in the reason why my family came here.
But from the White House perspective, that context didn't change Omar's original offense.
The only shame I see in this is that Democrats and others aren't standing up and taking the same hard line that the president is.
In this election season, many in the Democratic field were quick to cast judgment.
We all should rally to a fellow American congresswoman's defense right now.
It was sent out for the purpose of inciting hate.
At least four other Democratic contenders tweeted their disdain. Bernie Sanders said Omar, quote, won't back down to Trump's racism and hate. And New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand called the president's rhetoric disgusting, but added, as a senator who represents 9/11 victims, I can't accept any minimizing of that pain. Sunday night, Omar said she's receiving more death threats than usual, prompting Speaker Pelosi to order a security assessment. Republican Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who served three tours of duty in Afghanistan, blames the progressive backlash on racial identity politics.
This is the worst kind of argumentation. So what they do is they'll use identity to try and silence anyone else from saying anything. You're not allowed to say that because of who I am.
Yes, I think it's even worse than that. I think Dan is maybe too generous. And you might remember that Ocasio-Cortez was defending Omar, and she said that Ilhan Omar had done more for 9/11 victims than Dan Crenshaw, who lost his eye going over to the Middle East to fight, to release that part of the world from the grip of the Islamists. But you know what? Omar has done more for, you know, victims of 9/11 than Dan Crenshaw. Of course, don't be fooled by this. Please, please don't let these twisted people twist your mind on this. Ilhan Omar is claiming victimhood at that banquet that she spoke at. Oh, some people did something, and so now we're being mistreated, we Muslims, and it's just been terrible how horrible that they should think badly of us because some of us did something, you know, like killed almost 3,000 Americans on 9/11, because that's just something. And, you know, some people, like, dropped everything, including Tom Cotton in the Senate. We have just a few serving. We have several, actually, Iraqi war veterans serving. Thank God for that. But they're silenced. You know, that doesn't matter. Poor Ilhan, she's the victim. And let me just tell you, Ilhan is not the victim. When she talks about, alleges that all Muslims are being cast by this and it's just so unfair. Trust me, casting her in this is not unfair at all. She is an operative of the Council of American Islamic Relations, which is was a co-conspirator in the Holy Land Foundation trial. They are supporting terrorism by Hamas. They should not be allowed to operate it in this country. It was a fundraiser for them where she spoke. Her hands, she is guilty. She is dripping with ill will toward this country. I can tell you right now that the Council on American Islamic Relations, the PR arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, is up to its ears in wishing harm on the United States. They call it civilization jihad. And Ilhan Omar and the rest of the Democratic field can flap their wings as much as they want to and their jaws, but it will not change the truth. So please don't forget what is true here and what isn't. And so when the New York Post put on their cover, Representative Ilhan Omar, 9/11 was some people did something, and they show a picture of the towers burning and say, here's your something. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't let them delude your knowledge and understanding. People are so, they call it undulation. Human beings just change their minds. They can't think clearly. Don't let that be the case for you on this. Think clearly about who perpetrated, who's perpetrating the violence against the West, and who isn't. And don't make the people that call that out the villains, like the president, like Dan Crenshaw. How dare they? Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast
may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.